We are recording messages and putting them on our website for anybody's interest.
Good evening. A little over a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, I was approached at Sunday school to offer a message about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I knew the man's name, and I knew that he was a great theologian, but that's all that I knew. So I considered it for a couple of days, and I said, yeah, sure. It'll be interesting to find out what he has to say. So after that, I was given this book, which has a chapter in it about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The following Sunday, I was given this book, which has another chapter about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This book written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This book written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And this video, which is a biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So I went to a pastor friend of mine and said, I'm going to be doing this thing on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I'm really kind of nervous about it. She said, oh, wait, I got the best thing for you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer's letters from jail. A documentary on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, done by PBS. So I went to the local bookstore and I went, right, guys, I'm going to do Dietrich Bonhoeffer and I don't want anything quite that thick to read right now. So I picked this up, nice and cute. She said, wait, Shane, if you're going to do Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you must read the quintessential biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I can order it for you. I know how you read. You'll read it in a week. It'll be fine. A week later, I get this one. So I left myself with about 2 weeks to read all this and watch the videos. I didn't succeed, but I've learned a lot, and I'm happy to share what I have learned with you. Now, in order to understand who Bonhoeffer was, one needs to understand the family he was born into. His father's family was filled with academics, professors, teachers, scientists. His father was a world-renowned scientist and psychiatrist that everyone went to when they needed help with the brain. His mother's family was filled with teachers, theologians, and philosophers. In fact, his mother's grandfather's book, his theology book, was still being used in seminaries when Dietrich went to seminary. So he comes from a long line of heavy thinkers. His childhood seems to have been a happy one, full of love and encouragement, until at age 14, when he said that he wanted to be a theologian. And his brothers picked on him mercilessly for choosing theology. I don't know if it affected him much, but it made him stubborn enough to follow through. On August 2nd, 1914, Dietrich's brother died fighting for Germany in World War I. The loss had a great impact on young Dietrich. When he's 24 years old, he made an associate pastor was made an associate pastor to a Lutheran church in Barcelona, Spain. The thing that he discovered most when he was in Spain was that he was irritated by the complacency and the apathy of the congregation, who did not seem to care at all for the fact that there was such abject poverty right outside the doors. They were middle class, well-to-do, and they didn't notice. They just looked over the people, and it really bothered him. It disturbed him greatly. After World War I ended, with Germany losing, democracy was forced on Germany, which led to the Weimar Republic, which was a weak democracy. Later, Bonhoeffer was awarded the Sloan Fellowship from Union Theological Seminary in New York. Bonhoeffer was overwhelmed with New York. He believed you could live there indefinitely and not do and see all that was available. But he was intensely aware of the abject poverty in New York as well. It was after the stock market crash, and homelessness and poverty were just everywhere, and it broke his heart. While at Union, he met and became close friends with Frank Fisher, another student who happened to be African American and hailed from Alabama. Frank invited Bonhoeffer to join him at church, and Bonhoeffer accepted the invitation. He would later talk about the vibrant faith of that congregation. Also while at Union, he met John Lasserre, who was a pacifist. Under John's influence, Bonhoeffer became a pacifist. During the time at seminary, he set out to study the Sermon on the Mount. And through the influences of Frank and John and his study of the Sermon on the Mount, he became a Christian. He had been a pastor, he had been teaching, he had been a theologian. He had never truly had a conversion experience. But during this time, he converted. And it obviously, as I'm sure all of you know, it changed his life. Now, there were danger signs in the world that Dietrich noticed. For example, the Americans that he met blamed Germans for the collapse of the stock market. Also in Germany, the Nazis and Hitler became popular, and the National Socialist Party was growing, and racial purity was becoming a thing. In 1933, the Weimar Republic fell, and the Nazis were rising, so Bonhoeffer returned to Germany. And during an outing to a neighboring country, Bonhoeffer got to meet his hero, Karl Barth. I don't know if any of you know Karl Barth. When you study, you hear all these names, you read little clips, and to see it all tie together was really exciting for me. But at 25, Bonhoeffer was ordained at St. Matthew's Cathedral. 25. In order to understand the situation Bonhoeffer found himself in, it is helpful to understand what was going on in Germany at the time. Nazis had been a fringe group that many thought would burn itself out and cease to exist. However, Hitler promised to restore Germany's greatness through his policies. The Versailles Treaty at the end of World War I hurt Germany. Whispers of war began. Anti-communist sentiment throughout Germany was used by Hitler as an excuse to have his enemies murdered and to start concentration camps. It became an act of treason to speak against the Nazis. As Hitler gained power, he started pushing a unified state religion. The Reich Church was born. Church leaders around Germany embraced Hitler because of his campaign to return Germany to its strength and power. Hitler promised to restore Germany to its glory days. Church leaders said that the National Socialist Party was the only Christian party, and that the way of the Spirit, by which they seem to have meant the Holy Spirit, the way of the Spirit was the way of Hitler. Posters and propaganda flyers had images of the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove on Hitler's head. I was disturbed. At any rate, church leaders talked about equivalencies between Jesus and Hitler, such as Hitler was persecuted like Jesus was. They also said Jesus built for heaven and Hitler built for German soil. Bonhoeffer preached 2 days after Hitler's ascension to power, just 2 days after he was ascended. And in the sermon, he called out Hitler by name and stood in direct opposition to the Reich Church. The sermon had been going out over the radio, and as soon as he spoke against Hitler, within seconds, the service cut out. They were being censored. 2 days. It's frightening to me. Censorship had begun, and the Reich Church became more and more enamored with nationalistic fervor. Nazi symbols made it into the churches. There were Nazi flags flying on churches, swastikas on the altars, flags in the sanctuary. Bonhoeffer voiced his dissent openly, and towards the end would remove the flags and swastikas from the sanctuaries where he was going to talk. He said that you cannot worship a nation and worship God in the same space. The papacy, the Pope and hierarchy of the Catholic Church, signed a nullification pact with Nazi Party, saying that no one in the Catholic Church would oppose Hitler. Non-Catholic churches banded together and to rewrite certain church creeds to harmonize them with Nazism and with a nationalistic flair. Church members across the board were no longer called Christians. They were called German Christians. A civil law was passed which stated that Jews could not hold positions of power. And since the church was part of the state, Jews were pushed out of Christian spaces. If you had an ancestor who was Jewish, you were not even allowed to convert to Christianity. At any rate, Mueller, the head of the German Evangelical Church, pushed for Nazification of church teachings. He rewrote the Beatitudes with a nationalistic flair and preached it. Bonhoeffer was kind of like me, going, what are you doing? It doesn't work. Bonhoeffer and the famous theologian Karl Barth rejected this push to unite church and state. In doing so, they decided to found a new denomination called the Confessing Church. Bonhoeffer continued to speak out against Hitler and did so publicly. He said, "Do good to all people, and we're not simply to bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself." After having orchestrated international protests against Hitler, Bonhoeffer took a chance to lead two Lutheran churches in London. Barth was incensed. Bonhoeffer explained to Barth that he was standing in opposition to many of his friends, and so he was taking some time in the wilderness. Barth responded to Bonhoeffer that you couldn't get weary now when there was still so much work to do. So Bonhoeffer returned to Germany. He started a seminary for the Confessing Church. The students had to understand when they were going to seminary there that they would not be able to use their seminary education in Germany. It wasn't going to be allowed. Bonhoeffer taught that a deadly enemy of the church was forgiveness without repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, and grace without discipleship. He also taught that faith and obedience go together. You can't be obedient to God without faith in God. And you can't have faith in God without being obedient to God. Bonhoeffer and his Confessing Church were becoming a real thorn in the side for Hitler and the Nazi Party. So they made giving offerings to the Confessing Church illegal. One of Bonhoeffer's close friends and a leader of the Confessing Church, Martin Neumuller, famously said, "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." I don't know if any of y'all have heard that poem before. I assume so. It's one that I had memorized when I was a kid. Thing is, that's not the poem. That's what everything you find online says, but that's not what it starts with. He started with, first they came for the communists, because that's who they came for first. That's who first went into concentration camps, were the communists. But in our tendency to remove things that make us uncomfortable, that line was removed. Anyway, Bonhoeffer and arrived at Neumuller's house just after the Gestapo had been to arrest Neumuller and taken him away. Bonhoeffer and the others who arrived at the house were basically put under house arrest for 8 hours while the Gestapo ransacked the house, and they were forced to watch. The Confessing Church was beginning to be compromised at this stage. Many of its pastors were arrested for not being willing to recite a pledge as they were ordered to do. This disbanding of much of the Confessing Church was caused by the Gestapo requiring the pledge to follow Hitler as God's chosen. Bonhoeffer found out about a plot to kill Hitler, which, by law, made him an accessory to the crime. So several of his friends in America arranged for a ticket for him to return to the States for a lecture tour. Bonhoeffer accepted the ticket and boarded the ship to America, but it was not an easy decision. He prayed and journaled and studied scripture all the way over. He was torn apart for leaving just as war was breaking out. By the time he got to the States, he had made up his mind to return. Upon returning, he was forbidden to speak publicly. So he began work on a book which eventually came to be called Ethics, which is in this stack. Bonhoeffer struggled with the moral and ethical dilemma that he was faced with. The moral and ethical dilemma: do I do something to push Hitler out of power or even kill Hitler? Or follow the Christian ideal of supporting civil authorities and thus play a part in genocide? He decided, after contemplating, Hitler is anti-Christ and must be eliminated. He had held to the pacifist ideal for many years, but now he joined the resistance and became a courier. Bonhoeffer was a key player in Project U7, which was an attempt to smuggle 7 Jews into Switzerland, who, because of their neutral status, would not allow anyone who wasn't Aryan coming from Germany into their country. The project continued to be called U7, even though it was no longer 7 people, but now 13 or 14 Jews being smuggled. Meanwhile, while he's going through all of this, he falls in love. I thought, with all that was going on, he met a woman who was 18 years old, he was 37, and fell in love with her. Her grandmother was not pleased and took a lot of convincing before she would give her blessing. The grandmother had taken his future fiancé to the confessing church for confirmation class, which Bonhoeffer taught. So it's really, obviously this was an awkward relationship for the people around the couple, but most began to accept it. On March 13, 1943, Hitler was flying to the front lines of the war in order to boost troop morale. So Bonhoeffer and others planted a bomb on the plane. It did not go off. A second attempt also failed. I think that was Operation Valkyrie. I didn't do a lot of checking on that because I was running out of time. Anyway, and it failed. After the second attempt failed, Operation U7 was discovered by the Nazis, and on about April 5th, 1943, Bonhoeffer was arrested. In prison, he was allowed to write and receive letters and have books. According to the journals and a note found in his prison cell, however, Bonhoeffer had contemplated suicide because he was unsure if he could withstand torture without giving his friends away. He said, "I'm basically dead already," in the note. His trial for treason and high treason did not garner a conviction, though. He was found guilty of various army regulation violations and was scheduled for release in the next few months. He and his fiancée began to make wedding arrangements. During that time, another plot to kill Hitler failed, and while he was not involved in this one because he was in prison, several of his fellow co-conspirators during the time that he was planning Hitler's assassination were arrested. He lost hope for release and knew that time was short for him. He was transferred from a regular prison that he was in to a Gestapo prison when the information gathered from co-conspirators led to the discovery of his travel journals when he was trying to smuggle the 13 or 14 Jews into Switzerland. Many of his family were either directly or indirectly involved in trying to assassinate Hitler or remove him from power. This family was deep thinkers and couldn't tolerate Hitler being in charge of their country. Two of his brothers were shot by the Gestapo when a plot was uncovered. At any rate, Bonhoeffer was transferred to an underground prison in a concentration camp where he became known as the prisoner's pastor. As allies got close to the concentration camp, prisoners from the camp were taken out and just shot in the woods and left there. Bonhoeffer and a few of the other prisoners in the basement were rounded up and put in the back of a truck going south. They were eventually housed in a small schoolhouse that had been converted to a prison. Hitler knew that he was losing the war, and he ordered the execution of all conspirators. Bonhoeffer's last words to a bishop were, "This is the end for me, the beginning of life." He didn't face it with sorrow. He didn't face it with fear. He faced it with anticipation. The doctor who witnessed Bonhoeffer's death was quoted as saying he had never seen a man approach his death so entirely submissive to the will of God. I'm not going to say ironic, what's unfortunate is that shortly before being removed from the concentration camp, or after being removed from the concentration camp, like 3 days later, the Allies liberated the concentration camp. So he missed it by 3 days. Hitler committed suicide in the bunker less than 30 days after ordering Bonhoeffer's death. Bonhoeffer almost made it. Bonhoeffer wrestled with something he called cheap grace, which he defined as grace without repentance. He blamed cheap grace for the rise of the Nazi Party. He saw the watering down of Scripture mixed with the combination of church and state as a problem, and he spoke out against it. Another famous thought that he had was that it is better to do evil than to be evil. I've wrestled with that since I read it, that it's better to do evil than to be evil. He had to change his pacifist attitude in order to take down, in order to attempt to take down someone who was evil. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, by all accounts, a great pastor. In addition, when he was afraid, he spoke truth to power. He saw it as a requirement when loving God. Finally, his faith saw him through to the very end, where he was martyred for having the courage of his convictions. That's all I have, guys.
Thank you, Shane.
I'd like to conclude with a song, 494. Christians. If you'd like to stand if you can, if you're not, stay seated, just sing.